Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Derek Felix. Big show for you tonight, certainly on a Saturday night weekend blitz. I hope you're all doing very well out there. The Olympics are pretty much coming to an end. I've really enjoyed the Summer Games. I've always been a huge fan of the Olympics. I've always followed pretty much everything when it comes to it. It's hard to like keep up with everything. Yeah, especially when you work and you know you're busy. But I mean, I do follow it, and I'm track and field especially. Something that I've really been into. That said, I guess I want to start with Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt is, I think he's the greatest, like, track and field athlete that I've ever seen. I'm talking about, actually, I shouldn't say it that way. I think he's the greatest sprinter that I've ever seen. Of course, he's got the size. He's 6'5", he's 207, all muscle. Just being able to do what he did, it's pretty amazing. It really is. It speaks volumes. To sweep gold in 100, 200, 4x100, in not one Olympics, two Olympics, but three straight Olympics, Summer Games, that's amazing. He's the world's fastest runner. I think he's the world's greatest runner. No disrespect to anybody in the past, including Jesse Owens, for what he did in 1936 in Nazi Germany at those games, which is pretty remarkable. But he's 9 for 9. He went 9 for 9. 9 golds. 9. And times were a little slower this time. He did battle hamstring injury. He even said that, you know, he was disappointed with his time in the 200, where he beat out the guy who's going to be the heir apparent, DeGrasse. I'll tell you, that guy, the Canadian, he looks like he's going to be the next guy. But he was no match for him in this 200, and he was disappointed with his time. And I think basically what it comes down to is that, you know, we're an athlete of the quality of Usain Bolt, Usain Lightning Bolt, as I like to call him. That's such a great name. It's like you demand perfection. You want to be the best. And, well, he was the best. He won the golds. He anchored the 4x100 relay, the one where the USA got disqualified in for, take your choice. Whether it's the bad handoff or the illegal handoff between the first and second wing, or our final runner running on the line. So, I mean, they basically lost the bronze medal three times. Well, two times actually, because they were beat out by Japan, and Canada got bumped up to the bronze. It's sad. It's sad, you know, that it was like that for the USA. But, it's certainly been a memorable Olympics. You have a lot of great athletes that deserve a lot of recognition, from Usain Lightning Bolt to Michael Phelps, who's just amazing. All the gold medals. Oh, man. And the one silver in his final race, the Butterfly 100, which was a great race. And the guy who beat him out, schooling, was a guy he took a picture with when schooling was like 7 or 8 years old. So I think it tells you a lot about Michael Phelps. He took a picture also with Katie Ledecky, and she was unbelievable, winning her 3 golds. Katie Ledecky, another one. Simone Biles was gonna carry the American flag with her 4 gold medals in the gymnastics, the all around. The team competition, what other ones did she win gold in? I think, did she win in uneven bars? I think she did, actually. And I think also, springboard, which one is that? The springboard? Well, I mean, there are so many great athletes, and it's really special. It's been a great Olympics, and even with, you know, the black eye with Ryan Lochte doing what he did, and I don't think I'll ever understand it, and I don't think we're supposed to understand why he had to make up a story, you know, when he and some younger swimmers, they got carried away at a gas station, partying or doing whatever they were doing, and lied about it. Maybe that's the difference between a Ryan Lochte and a Michael Phelps, who just he had so much to prove. He wanted to come back, and he wanted to get that gold back from Duclos, and he did. And he was so determined, and he had such a great Olympics. And, I mean, 23 golds, and he finished with 28 total medals, I think. It will never be duplicated. And I think you could say the same thing for Usain Bolt. Did he tie Carl Lewis with the 9? Yes. Is Carl Lewis legit? I really don't think he is. Obviously, he was given Ben Johnson's goal in the controversial games at Seoul. Games where you could make the argument that Carl Lewis shouldn't have been competing because he tested positive for 3 banned substances at the time in the Olympic trials, in the U.S. Olympic trials. And he also ran out of his lane about 2 or 3 times. Well-documented, the 9.79 with the asterisk documentary, the 30 for 30. Was Carl Lewis a great athlete? Yes. Was he the best log drifter? Undoubtedly. Is he a great athlete and a great sprinter? Yes. Do I like Carl Lewis? I don't. I don't like Carl Lewis. I just don't care for his attitude, and I can't believe he still has to speak out against Bolt. It just shows bitterness, and it shows, I don't know, it just shows a lack of class on his part. I mean, he's what? He hasn't competed in the Olympics since what, 1996. He's 50-something. Look, you had your time. You had your time. You had your moment. You got your gold medals. You know what? It's time to just go away. Just go away. I mean, you don't see Ben Johnson talking about the Olympics. He's promoting a book, actually, out of all things. I have more respect for Ben Johnson than I do for Carl Lewis. Maybe because Ben Johnson wasn't somebody that blamed other people. You know, he didn't make excuses when he lost races. Ironically, Ben Johnson is Ben Johnson 979, and he's just promoting a book. He's still teaching kids how to actually run. I think when you look back at it, the whole thing is sad. That he got on the program, and Charlie Francis, and the whole thing with the steroids, but they were all doing it, all on programs, and except for maybe Calvin Smith, who wound up with a bronze, got bumped up to a bronze. Did he get off the bronze or was it a silver? I forget. I guess what it comes down to is, there seems to just always be controversy when it comes to track and field. If you go back to some of the other great sprinters, nobody really talks about Florence Griffith Joyner. Nobody really talks about her. She's been dead for a long time. Jackie Joy DeCarcy was great. Florence Griffith Joyner. Well, I mean, she's been gone a long time. Why is she gone a long time? Because she did drugs. She definitely did drugs. And she's been gone since 1998. And she died at the age of 38. And she set all these records at Seoul. All the gold medals at Seoul, 100, the 200, the 4x100, what Usain Bolt's done. Elaine Thompson for Jamaica, she did the 100 and 200 gold, but there is an athlete by the name of Allison Felix. Allison Felix, who has my last name, she 4x100 gold, 4x400 gold, 7 golds. Elsa Felix is one of the greatest American female runners that ever existed. And I think this was her final Olympics, too. And she did it clean. She did it clean. I guess I got a lot more respect for the athletes that do it clean, do it without the arrogance. Elsa Felix, she got edged at the finish line. Edged at the finish line on a dive. She came all the way back in that race, and she lost it on a dive. I've heard people say that, well, the dive, you shouldn't be able to dive. But you know what? There's nothing against the rules about diving. And most dives, they don't work. In this case, the dive worked. And she lost gain of her teeth at age 30. Elsa Felix, to me, is a hero. She's heroic. So that's what I'm going to say about Allison Felix. And if it was her final games, which I think it was, she goes out as a champion. The Olympics are about champions. But it's not just about champions. I think you could be a champion when you win, and I think you could be a champion when it doesn't go your way and you lose. Take, for example, Kerry Walsh-Jennings. Kerry Walsh-Jennings, who had the 3 golds in the beach women's volleyball with the retired. She lost. She was bad in the match to get to the gold, and they lost to the Brazilian team. And after it, she admitted it. She said that she was bad. She didn't pass well. She didn't do a good job. She didn't do a good job. And I think I think it's how you handle yourself, even when you're not coming out on top, that shows what kind of person you really are. You know, I mean, I can give, whether it doesn't matter what it is, I could give an opinion, you know, that's not popular and might not be agreed with, you know, because it's who I am. You know, I am going to give opinions that aren't always going to be liked. I gave an opinion on Mr. Obama about him not visiting Louisiana yet. A very similar disaster to the one of Katrina. And I got some interesting responses. But when people label you and they don't really know who you are, it does. I voted for the guy twice. I supported him. I just don't think he's done that great a job. I mean, I don't think he should have been golfing in Martha's Vineyard and stayed on vacation while this disaster happened in Louisiana. A lot of poor people who are struggling. This is stuff that's happened before. It happened with George W. of Katrina. And here it is again with Obama, who's not going to visit until Tuesday. I guess what it comes down to is that politicians are not perfect. They really aren't. They aren't perfect. There really isn't one perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect leader. You know, I guess what it comes down to is I could have gotten upset. It was upsetting, but I responded in the only way I could, explaining my thoughts and trying to support them the best I can, and I took the high road. I feel like this election has just divided a lot of people. I've always been a Democrat. I'm pro-choice. I've always been pro-equal rights, pro-diversity. I believe in treating people the way you want to be treated. I've always treated people fairly. Always have. How I feel about our president shouldn't mean that I've changed how I treat other people. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. I'm tough. I'm opinionated. And I will say things that sometimes people don't agree with. But I mean, I've been subject to stuff that from people that I know that they are. They are racist. So if you want to accuse me of being that, I'm wrong. And it is disrespectful. And I'll take the high road. I mean, do I say things that regret sometimes? Sure. I do. I think we all do. You know, I think we all, sometimes we do things in the way we act or we say things in the way we act that aren't always the best. And it's not that we intend to come off the way we do or upset, but when you have someone, you know, that you scored games for, just graduated high school, you know, accusing you of something that you're not, I think you have to just, you gotta defend yourself, you gotta stand straight, and you gotta try to take the high roll. I take the high roll. I did it the best I can. Sometimes you just have to be a champion, even when things aren't going your way. I have a lot of friends. I've got friends of all different races, and I'm very proud of that. I get along with everybody. And I think I always will. I think maybe when it comes to politics, maybe I should just get out of it entirely. I mean, maybe I should just stop. Maybe it's time for me to just take a break, maybe. I don't know. Get off Facebook for a while. I mean, because it just seems like social media, sometimes social media gets very heated. And it's kind of sad, to be honest. Social media is not always positive. I've had a, of course, you know, I think everybody has their own disputes. I'm a people person. I've always been a people person. I've always tried to help people, to make people look good. So, especially at that school, at that Berkeley Carroll school. Otherwise, I would have been as long as I did doing that. I guess this is just going to be a soul show. Theodorio's not around, but that's fine. It's okay. I don't mind doing a show by myself. I've never minded it. 50 minutes or whatever. 424-675-8226. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Olympics, obviously, coming to a close. I'm going to miss it. I really like the Olympics. I'm going to miss Bolt. He says he's done, and I believe him. He doesn't have anything else left to prove. He did what he set out to do. He did the triple again, and he got the 9. And he's slowing down. And he's slowing down because he's had injuries. He's never stayed fully healthy in that 6-5 frame. It's amazing how fast he is. Amazing how he could just track down Justin Gatlin like nothing. Like nothing in the first 60 meters of that 100 the way he did. And he didn't have to run a really fast time. 9.81 is that's fast. But it's not super fast. It's not the 9.59 that he ran, the 9.58 that he ran in 2008. I just think that we should have more of an appreciation for not just athletes, but for people. You know, you might not know me personally, but if I say something you disagree with, I mean, I don't want you to take it out of context. I've never wanted you to take it out. I don't want it to be taken out of context. I'm just tired. Maybe I'm just tired. I'm tired of the way things are run in this country. I'm tired of how this system is set up. I'm tired of it. You know, it's I don't believe in the system anymore. I don't believe in either candidate. And I certainly don't believe in who's running. Yeah, I think that I do think things have to change. I just know they have to change. I think sometimes you got to change for the better. That's the only thing I can really say, you know, in relation to this. I talked more about this stuff than I wanted to, because it was kind of on my mind. So that's why I started the show a little late. There's baseball obviously going on. There's races, there's playoff races happening, and MVP races as usual, and award races, and I really, really enjoy baseball. I still do. Even though I don't agree with all the moves that managers make these days, taking out pitchers and doing matchups and going by the book, I'm not a believer in that. That said, we've got the Yankees. I really like what they're doing. I really like where they're at. I know they lost the last two games to Toronto, and Toronto's just better. They're a better team. I mean, they're more explosive, and we saw it after Pineda came out in the second game with the rain. But when you see what Gary Sanchez, or that's what I call him, I call him Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez is doing with the bat. He had a 6th home run tonight. He's already got 6 home runs and a whole bunch of extra base hits. So really handles well behind the plate, and he seems to really know how to call a game, and seems to really know how to handle staff. This guy has a chance to be great. He seems to have a special quality. He's basically pushed McCann to the bench or to a DH role, a part-time DH role. Alex Rodriguez has come and gone, and I'm glad that A-Rod's not going to play for the Marlins or for another team this year. You know, if he wants to change his mind, he can change his mind next year. But I think the way he went out, I think he was happy with the way it happened and the way it went out. And maybe it didn't happen the way he wanted to. I don't think the Yankees handled it too well. I've said that. They did everything they could in that game for him. They did. Girardi putting him at third base for that inning, for that one out, the send-off, the fans, etc. Sometimes people make mistakes and they get better, and they learn from their mistakes. I think that's what we saw with Alex. I think he loves baseball. I think he loves the game. And when you look at Didi Gregorius' success at the plate, that could be attributed to A-Rod. A-Rod helped him out with hitting. When you see Gregorius with the 17 home runs and almost 60 RBIs and 285 or 286 average, along with a very solid shortstop that he plays, you have to look at A-Rod. Look at A-Rod. But looking at guys like Sanchez and looking at guys like Aaron Judge, it gives you some excitement. There's some excitement. There's some palpable excitement for the Yankees for the first time in a while for Yankee fans. And it's great. It is great to have excitement again. It really is great. Yeah, I mean, to have the excitement, I'd rather be a Yankee fan than a Mets fan right now. They've got big issues. Well, Cespedes carried him to a victory today. Hit 2 home runs. Comes back, it's 2 home runs, and drives it. What did he drive in? 3? I think they won 8-2. You know what? He basically will have to carry them if they're going to get in the playoffs. They entered, I think, 5.5 behind the Cardinals for that for that second spot. I see Brazil won the gold in soccer. They beat Germany, so that'll make the hometown Brazilians very happy. They did good in gymnastics too, in the men's gymnastics, something that the USA is not too good at. I think the Olympics are still great to watch. If you just ignore the corruption of the IOC, you ignore that, and you just appreciate the athletes, you can watch the Olympics. The coverage is not always so great. I didn't like NBC's coverage with Al Trautwood doing gymnastics. He was terrible. But at least they had Nasty Luke in there on it. But if you just can block out the IOC, which is always going to be corrupt, and you just appreciate the athletes, with the exception of Ryan Lochte and the stupid thing that he did, and I can't believe he's still doing interviews. He shouldn't be doing any interviews. I would just get out of the spotlight entirely and let it die down. But that's not who he is. I think the spirit of the games has always been fun. It's about competition. And every athlete there has sacrificed. They have worked their butts off. And that's something that's getting lost. I heard Al Trautwood say something during gymnastics that it's after Simone Biles, she was winning her fourth gold medal. It's Simone Biles' party and everybody else should get out of the way or something to that effect. And I didn't like that very much because it disrespects the other athletes. Yeah, it might be her party, but every athlete there has something to be proud of. And when you see Brazilians celebrating their gold medal here, you see the crowd, and you see the ceremonies, whether it's bronze or silver or gold, everybody has something that they should be proud of when they participate. The final five with of course, Biles, the 19-year-old, Allie Reisman, who I really like, actually. I thought their interview with Costas was great. I really enjoyed their interview. I really, really enjoyed it, actually. Maybe I do have a soft spot. I do. So I guess that makes me good. And I've got a soft spot. Yeah, I got this gigantic heart. I don't think everybody always sees it, but of course I donate it to the cause. Donate it to that woman's family after she died suddenly. I'm not spoiled. I don't have as much money as everybody else. I don't come from a rich family. I come from a good family, though, who's always supported me, you know, in good and in bad, whether I've had my struggles. I've had plenty of struggles as a person, but I've always tried to give to other people and help other people. I really think my true calling is helping other people. So I know things are going to change for the better. That I know. This is not just about sports. It's about life. It's about life. It really is. Is this it for the Olympics? Is this the last one? I think they're doing a final ceremony, I think, tomorrow, but I'm pretty sure. I just think that every 4 years, or I guess every 2 years, because you got the Winter Olympics, which are also very fun, the next day, that's coming soon, 18. It's just always been fun. It has always been fun. The games themselves, let's see, you got a 10,000-meter final, the men's marathon. Okay. So Nev Kozlowski is still competing at the age of 41. He's a gold medalist, actually, the American. And he got rhythm gymnastics and volleyball gold medal, Italy and Brazil. Of course, men's basketball, the U.S. Team USA, led by Durant and Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, going for gold against Serbia. To be really honest, it's really hard for me to watch the basketball when it's blowout city for our USA. It's very hard for me to watch. The closing ceremony is tomorrow night. That will probably be good. I mean, I'm about the games themselves and the competition. But for 2 weeks, it's nice. It's a nice distraction. Instead of just talking about mainstream sports, I mean, we talk so much baseball. We talk so much, I don't know, hockey, basketball, football. You know, I like the Olympics. I've always been a guy who likes the Olympics. I mean, as a kid, you know, during the 84 games, basically. So I just started to get into it. Kind of like how I got introduced to baseball and played Little League and ball. Eventually, when I got older, it was track and tennis. Those were sports that I really liked. Became the sports that I became really passionate about and played and were best at. I just love track and field. I don't care if it's fastest race, fastest man, fastest woman, 200, 400, long distance like I used to do, whether it's 1500, 800, or whatever it is, marathon, my father did. I'm a big fan. I've always loved track and field. Tennis, anybody who knows me knows how much I love tennis. I mean, anybody who knows me knows this. Oh, my God. Brett Garner just made one of the best catches I've ever seen. Wow. I mean, okay. Yeah, every once in a while you see something that just, and that's what's great about sports, that amazes you. All right, so CJ Krohn was at bat for the Angels. The Yankees were winning this game 5-0, and it looked like Krohn got it all. He hit the ball to the warning track. It was going into the seats. Gardner timed his leap perfectly, leaped into the stands. With two fans there, a Trout fan, a fan with a Trout getting ready to catch it, and a Yankee fan. And he goes over the wall with the glove outstretched and makes one of the best catches that you'll ever see. Oh, my. I don't even know what to say. I mean, he robbed Krohn of a two-run home run, which would have made it 5-2. That was remarkable. That looked like it was gone. And you know, I have to have the game on, and Gardner, I mean, it's one of those saves where you can go over the wall, fully extend it, and just makes a fantastic catch. That's sports. That's the spirit right there of sports. You know? I think that's what competition's all about right there. What a fantastic catch, though. He has not had that great a year, but terrific catch. Terrific catch by Brett Garner. Terrific catch by Garner. Good as it gets. That's what I will put. This is Hard Hits. It's just a solo show. Derek Flux Felix here in Staten Island on the other side of the Verrazano Bridge in New York City. Another Human Night here. And, I mean, there was a football game. Yeah, there is preseason football that's going on. the Giants were supposed to play a preseason football game at Buffalo today. I did not see a lot of this game. I went to the gym and did about a 100-minute workout. So I was in the gym for almost 2 hours working out. But one of the guys, I guess, you know, that works at the gym had the game on the laptop at the beginning, had a feed. And I saw the beginning of it because I was kind of working. I was kind of working out in the front. So, and like one of the first plays of the game, T-Mobile, Tyrod Taylor looked like he was going to be sacked by one of the Giants defensive guys. Then he does like this Michael Jackson, I don't know what to call it, a spin move to the left. Spins off him, goes to the left, makes a throw down the sidelines, and it's caught, I think, by Clayton. And I don't know. And I just thought to myself, well, same old Giants. That catch by Gardner was something. Wow, that was a special catch right there. But, like, it was just like same old Giants. The Giants offense did not do anything. The Bills, on that first drive, they drove down the field, and then they fumbled, and the Giants got a touchback. But basically, the Giants have lost two preseason games. They've scored a total of 13 points. They've turned over the football 6 times. Eli Manning played for 4 series, and they had a total of maybe 46 or 47 yards, and he was 4 out of 9, whatever they had. They couldn't run the ball, and their backups kept turning over the ball. Ryan Nassib is terrible, and our third-string quarterback threw 2 interceptions. The Giants don't have a backup quarterback. They still don't. Yeah, if Eli ever went down, oh, bro, you know what? Oh, brother, they have so much. They have their work cut out for them. Let's just put it that way. They really have their work cut out for them. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I just don't know what to say. They have two more preseason games. They got one against the Jets, the stupid Giants-Jets game, which everybody gets so excited about. What does preseason really mean? Yeah, I mean, you obviously want to see your team get into a rhythm. Defense look good, and the offense actually look like they can actually block people and maybe develop a run game. I don't have a lot of expectations. I've said this before, and I guess there really isn't much to say. So, they're probably going to be in for another tough season. Hopefully they'll start to look a little better the next week. Preseason to me, I mean, obviously it's about reps. But you want your starters to stay healthy, okay? You want your starters to stay healthy, okay? Now the Bills have their own issues. The Bills, they have released some players already that were suspended. So they're cleaning house. They're 2 of their top draft picks are already out for the season, basically. And I mean, if that's how they're gonna run it, that's how they're gonna run it. But they've actually dropped some talented players. They have decided to drop. That's not really for me to discuss. It's really more for a Bills contingent to discuss if they ever decide to actually call into the show again, ever. I don't know. 424-675-8226. And if you're a Giant fan, was nothing positive that you could take. When you lose 21-0 and give up all 21 points in the first half, and most of it's off turnovers, and your backup field goal kicker misses a kick from 27 yards out. and your starting kicker, Josh Brown, has all these, like, all this history of abuse with his ex-wife and even death threats. What the hell is he doing on the Giants still? I might have to embargo the Giants. I really might have to. I mean, how could Josh Brown still be a Giant? Why? Because he made 37 out of 39 field goals last year? No. I mean, if all this stuff is true, they have to release him. That's not the Giant play. That's not the Giant philosophy. You lead the cipher art. But if that's all, like, you know, I read this story and it was just horrifying to read. Carlos Williams. Carlos Williams was the guy released. He was a running back that was successful after at the Bills. He got suspended for 4 games. They released him. They released him because he was overweight. So, overweight, and they bring in Reggie Buss, and he's released. Just like a year after all the touchdowns he scored. Well, that explains a lot. You know what? I mean, that's football, though. Just because you were good your first year doesn't mean you could just come into camp and overweight and not think, and then get suspended and not think you're going to pay the price. Will he get picked up by someone? Probably. The Giants still can't run the football. That's something that we've learned. You know, we got one of the most talented receivers in all football. And does it matter? Does it matter? I don't know. If the team can't perform, if they can't block, if they can't run the football, if they can't stop people, then having old Bill Beckham Jr. doesn't matter. Now, I want to see a little more from the Sterling Shepard kid, who they seem to be impressed with. I like to see what he can do. We'll see. But preseason does not matter all that much. You obviously want to be healthy. You could go 0-4, 0-5 the preseason and look awful. But if you win your first game, and build confidence, then things can change really quickly. I don't think the NFC East is that great, but I do think the Redskins are better. I think the Eagles are probably better. And the Cowboys are probably better than the Giants, too, even though they got their own issues. We're not doing football predictions for a while. I'm not going to go crazy over this, over how things are right now. But you like to see things a little bit better happen. I guess what it comes down to is maybe it's just sticking to sports is better. Now, there was some hockey news. Yes, folks, there was the New York Rangers getting this Jimmy Vesey guy. Jimmy Vesey is a 4-year player that played for Harvard. So he's obviously smart. He's obviously got a brain. And I've heard he's a very humble kid. They have this rule where you can if you don't reach agreement with the team that drafted you after 3 years, you can opt to become a free agent. Nashville Predators knew this, and they decided to trade his rights to the Sabres. Sabres took a gamble. They took a gamble. They had all these third-round picks, so Kadri said, you know what? I'll give up a third-round pick to see if we can negotiate a deal with this guy, Vesey, and try to add him to our talented core that features Jack Eichel and features Sam Reinhart and features the controversial Evander Kane and features Rasmus Ristolainen, who still has to be signed. And Sabres, I don't know what the Sabres are going to do there, but they have to get him signed. They don't have a lot of room, but this Ristolainen is their top defenseman. He's a stud. What are they going to get him? What's going to happen with that? So they have to figure it out. They do have to figure that out. Every once in a while, you have a college player that decides they want to choose. So there was all this stuff going on. There was this Bessie Watts going on hashtag Bessie Watts, BessieYWATCH going on. And it was just annoying. I mean, it was really annoying. It was all over my timeline, and you had celebrities, you know, whoring themselves out. Oh, you have to sign with the Rangers. You got to do this. You got to do that. It was annoying. It really was annoying. There was about seven teams that wanted him. The Islanders wanted him. The Devils wanted him. The Devils had more cap space. The Islanders had more cap space. Devils successfully had more cap space. And they might even have a brighter future. You know, then you had the Blackhawks. I mean, they love to collect. They love to collect good players. You had the Penguins, and you had his hometown Bruins. All these teams were talking to him. All these teams wanted him, and then the Rangers. I didn't think the Rangers were going to get him. I thought, you know, maybe if he's smart, he actually stay with the Sabres, stick with the Sabres, and go to a team that's got, you know, the brightest future. But I guess he wanted to play on Broadway, and he was about playing for the Rangers, and decides he wants to be a Ranger. He chose the Rangers. It played out on Friday, and late Friday afternoon, the evening. Well, not I wouldn't really say evening because it's summer. So it was like before 6. He decides I'm gonna be a Ranger. It's a good play by Gregorius. He's got great range. He really is one of the better shortstops, one of the more underrated shortstops in the game already. There's better shortstops than him, like Francisco Lindor, for sure. But I'll tell you what, Didi is pretty damn good. He is pretty damn good. But, like, I didn't want to overreact to it when it became official. My friends were, like, torturing me, and Brian and Rob Davis and JPG are torturing me about how this guy decides to choose the Rangers. And it's like, all right, they didn't win the Stanley Cup. Some of our fans, the way our the Ranger fans act, they act like they won cup, that they won a cup because they got this guy. He's got some speed. He scored a bunch of goals in the last 2 years of his junior and seasons at Harvard. 32 goals as a junior, 24 goals this past year. Wins the Hobie Baker Award, but a lot less points than a player that was a finalist and a goalie who had a fantastic year. These other two guys who were drafted younger. Maybe he won it because he's older. I don't know. But they gave him the Hobie Baker. A lot of Hobie Baker Award winners do not do that well. McElroy. But there are Hobie Baker Award winners that have fared well, like Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau is just a magnificent talent. And wow. I mean, I don't even know what to say. But don't know what to say about it. Play. That was a nice play right there. Was that fair or foul? Did that go foul? I don't know. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see with what this guy is. Pavel Buchnevich will also be part of this team. And so you're going to have two new guys in the top nine, hopefully. But, you know, don't forget, neither of these – well, Buchnevich has played pro. Nessie's never played pro. Let's you have to be patient. It's about development. It's about coaching, too. Wayne Vino, the way he handles young players, doesn't exactly – I mean, I'm not exactly the biggest Wayne Vino guy. You know that. I don't have the biggest expectations with this team. They still have Staal. They still have Girardi coming off very bad years. They will be healthy. They should be healthier coming in. You hope McDonough is the anchor of the team, so you hope he's healthy. You have Kevin Klein. He always seems to get nicked up, and he might be a tradable asset eventually.
Brady Shea is a guy that I'm real excited about because he'll finally play a full season. McElrath, is he going to be in the top six, or are they going to screw him over? I don't know. The Bukaboob's now the assistant coach. They brought in a guy from the Avalanche. They have 8 defensemen on their roster. So I don't know. I don't know how good the defense is going to be, and everybody's talking about it. Marquess is getting older. He'll be 35 next spring. Is the window closed?
Well, of course, all the negative people, all the naysayers that hate our team and want to put Vissi out on a pitchfork, Devil fans, their fans, they say yes. Why would he choose this team? Well, I mean, there's a lot of young players, too, on that. There's a lot of young talent up front. You got Kevin Hayes, but he's got to be a lot better than he was last year. He was disappointing after his freshman year. After his first year, he has to be more reliable. I like trading Broussard for Mika Zibanejad from Ottawa and getting a second-round pick in the deal, too. Zibanejad basically got the same development stage as Broussard. He's 24. He's had a couple of 20-plus goal seasons. So, and you have Stepan, who's 26. He's the elder statement, and he's the first-line center, and a guy who could play power play, penalty kill, et cetera. Maybe they should try not to play him as much penalty kill because they brought in a bunch of guys who play penalty kill. But that's all. He will play some penalty kill. You have a lot of young players on the roster. Miller, Kreider especially needs to be more consistent. Hayes needs to be more consistent. JT Miller, who took a big step up and he gets a 2-year deal, and eventually they're going to have to pay him more. And you have these kids, you have these guys like Buchnevich, who looks like he's got a lot of skill. Where is he going to start? Is he going to start in the second line? Is he going to start in the third line? You have Zuccarello, who led the team in scoring, but he's small and he can be beat up. He plays with a lot of heart. He really does play with a lot of heart. Nash, of course, who's coming off a very bad year. I think he'll come back with a good year. In the second to last year of his contract. You have Jesper Fast. There are a lot of good forwards on this team. So there should be a lot of speed. They added Nathan Gerby. They added the guy from Calgary that could kill penalties. They also added Michael Grabner who could kill penalties. So there's more depth. I think there's a lot more depth. I think the four lines will be better. It'll be more balanced. But it might take some time. Because of some of these young players that they have. It might really come down to the defense. Is the defense going to improve? Is it going to be bad again? Is Marcus going to see so many shots? Is he going to see so many danger shots? Is he going to improve his save percentage against when he kills penalties? These are all question marks. There's a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions. So, I wasn't going to even talk hockey, to be honest, because it's so early. They're having a World Cup again, and they're going to have training camp, and the season's going to start a little late, and I hate the fact that the season starts when it starts, but they are going to do this, and so I don't know. I mean, I talked basically almost a whole month off from blogging until the past, 3 days where I blogged about this whole Vessi watch and how annoying it was, and I blogged about them getting Vessi, and I blogged about the offseason and about gymnastics and about the Olympics, which has been a good distraction, why I haven't really missed hockey that much, because the Olympics have been a great distraction and have been a lot of fun. But you know what? Enough about hockey. There's plenty of time for debate on that. The Olympics are ending, and we're going to miss it. I'm going to miss the Olympics. I really will miss the Olympics. So I'm not going to... I'm not going to go any more into detail about it.
I put out a favorite athlete list on my Facebook. So these are like favorite athletes. Some of them are current and some of them aren't. The current ones are, well, Usain Bolt, obviously, Michael Phelps, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal. Those are current athletes. Allyson Felix, female. Katy Ledecky. Allie Raceman. Those are the current athletes. Eli Manning too is in that list. In terms of, you know, athletes that I've always loved, Michael Johnson, Don Mattingly, my favorite baseball player, Daryl Strawberry, Dominique Wilkins, who I love watching him play, even though the Hawks were never good enough. Magic and Bird, obviously. I love their rivalry. Ken Griffey Jr. Who didn't love Ken Griffey Jr.? Barry Sanders, Lawrence Taylor. Who didn't make the list? Barry Bonds. A long time ago, Barry Bonds would have made that list easy. You know, Barry Bonds is one of my favorite baseball players. It's just, I just don't know how I could put him in there among the top athletes. It's hard. It is very hard to put him in there as a top athlete. It's not. It's hard to put him in there. He had those MVPs. He won all those MVPs. I think he did the juice and decided he needed to hit all those home runs because of the McGuire Sosa thing. And has the most home runs, even though it's tainted. It's sad. It's not as sad as Dwight Gooden, who didn't show up for a 1996 Yankee event where him and Strawberry were supposed to be there, interviewed by Joe Bonino, and talking about the 96 Yankees and talking about old times. And maybe, I'm sure there would have been some questions about the 86, about being on the 86 Mets and then being on the 96 Yankees. I'm sure Bonino would have got to that because Bonino was a Met guy. But, and, you know, you saw it with the Doc and Daryl, you know, documentary. Daryl documentary. Dwight Gooden is struggling still. He's still battling the addiction. He didn't show up, and it's sad. So, is he going to make it to 52? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'm not sure. And it's, you obviously, Dwight Gooden was one of my favorite pitchers growing up. I've never seen a pitcher who could throw like that at 19, 20 years old. I've never seen anybody like that. And the only thing you could do is just hope. Hope. You know, everybody dies. But it would be sad if he passed now after this documentary. And you could see he was struggling and did not look good. Strawberry's recovered from so much, from his addictions, from the coke, from the alcohol, from the cancer that he battled. Born again Christian. Now I'm up with a man. And you look at Doc. It's sad. It really is sad. I guess this show is about reflection. It's about reflection. And I am reflecting. I'm reflecting about a lot of things right now. A lot of things. You know? A lot of things. So, reflection makes you think. Makes you think about what you have. I guess you can't hold on to the past forever. You have to move forward. Dwight Gooden didn't even make it to the Mets World Series celebration, to the Ticker Tick Parade, because of his all night ever he did. Which is sad. Yeah. So,
Who knows?
Maybe G linking up standings, showing that the Cubs are where they are, and trying to start in with stuff. He's such a liar. Yankees right now in first 5-0 against a really bad team. The Angels are a pretty bad team. Brett Gardner with one of the best catches of the season. A catch where he extended fully with his glove and robbed CJ Cron of a 2-run home run. The Yankees easily won the first game, and Judge pops up to first base. This should be the second out. It will be the second out. And Sessa is a guy that the Yankees got for Justin Wilson. Sessa was originally in the Mets trade for Cespedes. The Yankees traded Justin Wilson to the Tigers and got Louis Sessa. And they got Chad Green. That's a great trade. That's potentially a great trade. Sessa started tonight. Why would the Tigers do that deal? And of course, the main part of that trade, Fulmer. He didn't have a good outing every night, but I would say he is the front runner for the AL Rookie of the Year, Michael Fulmer, who was part of that Cespedes deal. So he has 10 wins. You have a few guys that are. You don't really have any big hitters that are. What I would call use candidates for the AL Rookie of the Year. Tyler Nakin looks like he's going to be pretty good for the Indians. He's a former first-round pick. Had that inside-the-park walk-off home run. He looks like he's got a lot of talent. There's no Corey Seager in the AL as far as hitters. There's no Trevor Story either, who it's unfortunate that he's out for the year. And of course, Seager's going to wind up winning the Rookie of the Year without anybody. And there's no Diaz either, another guy who got hurt for the Cardinals. You don't have any hitters like that in the AL. You got Nomar Mazara. He looks like he's going to be pretty good for the Texas Rangers, but the second half has been so-so. Jose Ramirez is an interesting guy that's developed it to a starter. That's hit pretty hard. That is off the wall. That's going to score a run. So Ronald Torres, who has been a utility guy who couldn't hit this whole year, he went 4-for-4 on Friday night. No, 4-for-4. Yeah, 4-for-4 Friday night. Had his career game and hit his first home run. And Torres, who's getting another start, just hits one off the left field wall for an RBI double, and it's now 6-0. 6-0 Yankees. 6-0. So there you go. There you have it. It's the Yankees, actually it's 5-0. I'm sorry. They did not score a run on those. So it was 5-0. Excuse me. I thought they scored a run there. My apologies on that. Brett Gardner is up, and Gardner, of course, has not had a good year at the plate, but the defense play that he made is one that will be replayed for a while. Will be definitely be replayed for a while. Yankees win this game, it'd be 63-59. The Mets, with their win after getting humiliated by the Giants in the first two games, where Cespedes, and the Mets actually have a hold on to lead. Giants scored 3 runs in the 8th, and it was 9-5. So they win 9-5. The Mets don't really make it. And Eduardo Nunez has been doing all things. Picked him up. I don't even know why you have Jake Peavy. Now, he can't do anything. He can't pitch. He's not in the rotation anymore. You bring him out in relief. He's given up 5 runs. All right, so they're going to the bottom of the ninth, and the Yankees are 3 outs away from another win. They are hanging in. They are hanging in. As we're two minutes away from the end of the show, basically. Takeaway for me is just Bolt and Dubs. They're just two quintessential athletes. Who would you rather be? I mean, you can make an argument for both of them. Bolt, obviously, with the 9 golds. Phelps with all the other golds and the swimming. I think, you know, being able to get all those golds in swimming is unbelievable. And he did it in 4 Olympics. And obviously, you know, Bolt can only run certain races. They're different sports. Gymnastics, Simone Biles winning 4 golds in a single Olympics is unbelievable. Including 3 individual and the team, leading the team also. And once you get a silver or bronze, 5 total. It's always great. I guess we're putting a ball on the Olympics. Chris Bryant, he's for the NLE team. He's hit another home run, and he got 31 home runs. He's now in the lead for the NLE team. Well, JPG is right. Then I think Mookie Betts, So I'm half right, okay? Thanks, Benny. Benny, check out cast. I don't know. And we'll do another one tomorrow. That's it for John Gianorio. This is Derek Felix. I don't know. Good night, everybody. Thanks.